got your friends coming home from college. It's gonna be just like good times. Why does this always seem to happen on the eve of a major holiday? Oh, what's up, ladies and gentlemen, action sports fans, nerds around the world from all 478 continents, countries.
Oh, yeah.
It's Chris Cote here with Todd Richards. This is the world's greatest action sports podcast, a.k.a. the Monday Mass with Chris and Todd. Todd, happy Tuesday.
Hi.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Does that make sense to you?
Welcome to the Monday Action Sports Show, otherwise known as the Mass Tuesday.
That's right. Our intro song, as always, Todd does not have a choice in the matter. It's called Friends Coming Home. It's by Chris Cote solo. That was before I met Todd, and I still don't have a band with Todd. So we're going to have to go Chris Cote solo for the intro for now. On today's show, Encinitas Board Riders finally get the win. Todd, I'm going to tell you the whole triumphant story. That could take us 3 or 4 hours. All right.
Can we get it down to 2 minutes?
Yes. We got Rob Machado in the Hall of Fame. We got an interview with Dane Reynolds. We don't have an interview with Dane Reynolds.
Somebody else did it. Can we?
You might be able to.
Do you think he'd answer his phone?
I don't know.
I think he would talk to us.
I assume he has a spot in his heart for me.
Do you have his number?
Maybe.
If it was one of his calls,
I can show you just call him.
We could at least see what his voicemail sounds like.
Taj Bro has a new sponsor, the Challenger Series, starting soon. Tanner Yadaskis drops a zine. The Cote family has a new truck sponsor. A new Hollywood skate film in the works.
What?
A new pro, a homie on the Nine Club, Mount Bachelor News. Zeb Powell interview from our friend Derek. Actual journalism happening. Well, I haven't listened to the interview, so I don't know. There's a lot of great stuff on the show.
All right.
And so let's get to it. But before we get to it, Todd,
let's talk about our fabulous sponsors. Is there a song for them? Maybe one of your other cuts?
Yeah. It's like, it goes like this. Let's talk about our fabulous sponsors. It's only going to take about an hour and a half. Just listen to it all and buy their stuff. And then Todd and I will maybe get paid.
Probably not.
We will get some free stuff out of the deal. We're going to say their names and get some free stuff.
All right, go.
This is a job.
It is a job.
Okay.
Can I just say?
Yes.
My new favorite sponsor of the podcast.
Well, you can't pick favorites, but tell me, let's say your top
one of my top
six.
One favorite sponsors of the podcast is Super 73.
Come on. Wow.
Bikes. Look, I'm looking at it right here. It's parked right outside the studio. It looks good.
You know what?
What?
I think that I should get a percentage of the fun you're having on it.
No. It was my idea. It was my idea to get electric bikes.
I was the one that discovered Super 73.
It was just serendipitous that you ran into the dude the day after.
Right.
I was like, we need to get e-bikes.
I didn't run into him on an e-bike. It's a moto bike.
If you run into anything on this thing.
Well, check it
and
out.
And you're not wearing a helmet. You could get hurt.
On.
What? Is this sponsor?
You can go on Super 73's website right now, and you can put in your advanced pre-order on these epic bikes.
Okay.
And after...
Oh, the new... Dude.
The new...
Dude, the suspension one.
Yeah.
That's the one you want. You want the one with suspension because the ride can be a bit jarring, but with some suspension to smooth things out, Super 73 becomes the ultimate in round town getting down.
Well, so already I've upped my game a little bit. I got the extended
seat. We've
already
spent too much time on
the sponsor.
I got
the extended seat. I'm riding around with my lady. She feels like she's on the back of a freaking Harley, and I'm laughing all the way past the gas station because this bike's electric.
Outlaw Bike Club.
Super 73. Follow at Super 73. More news to follow there. Adventure.io. Todd and I are going to be opening up some dates.
We are?
For some new adventures.
Okay.
Yes. And if you haven't been on Adventure.io lately,
should we go to
you really should.
Should we go to Waco and Adventure.io, the Waco place?
I think so.
Okay.
And okay, so here's our idea for the adventure. We're spitballing here. Adventure.io.
Mm-hmm.
It's Todd, me, a filmer and let's say 4 to 6 surfers of any level. And not only will you come, well, we all get to do the whole adventure together. You can fly on planes with us. It's going to be awesome. Which flying on a plane with Todd is a dream come true.
If you have a,
he's got his shoes off. They're right. They're on the headrest.
I'm
in
punching
front of him.
The back of your seat.
He's clipping
the
his
whole
toenails.
Time.
He's actually biting his toenails on the flight, which is incredible to see. But for real, we go there. We film a couple sessions.
Yep.
Todd and I use our high-end professional
we will commentate
commentary.
Your heats.
Yeah, we'll commentate your video. This is a one. I'm going to write this down.
We will have
Adventure.io coming soon.
We will have you just bathing in sponsors.
K2 snowboarding. K2, you're awesome. We love you. And Todd, I know you have taken possession. I loaned you a couple of my K2 boards. You got the party platter out for one of your little homies this week.
Child
to snowboard
child
with.
Size shred because you ride an infant size snowboard.
I'm a baby. K2 snowboarding, more to come in snow news. Panikin Coffee and Tea.
Fabulous.
Panikin Coffee and Tea.
And
I was there this morning.
Did you get your card?
I got my card, okay, but more importantly, I got the news that Panikin Coffee and Tea has partnered up with Camp Shred, the world's largest surfboard demo, February 29th through March 1st at San Elio Campgrounds. Not only can you try all the greatest, newest, latest surfboards, wetsuits, skateboards, sunglasses, accessories, etc. There's beer garden, there's music, and now there's Panikin Coffee and Tea.
Hey, does Super 73 have bikes there to ride around on?
My bike will be there. Your bike will probably be there.
You think we can rent our bikes out?
That's probably something we should talk about off air.
Airbnb.
That could be a side business.
Airbnb. Our bikes.
Airbnb.
What else? Chemistry surfboards. Guess what?
What? Your board's done.
My board's done. It's at my house. But if you want to get a board for summertime, you need to order it right now because Jason's up to his armpits in orders.
I saw something really nice on the Chemistry Instagram today.
Yeah?
This little nugget.
What's
the
that?
Zen 3 channel.
I've been riding channels for a while.
The Zen 3 channel with little fades in the channels. You can really just see those channels, what we're looking at. 4 channels off the tail, tri-fin, thing looks like a freaking gem. At Chemistry Surfboards, go there on Instagram. Got a message from our friends at New Greens.
What'd they say?
They said, don't forget the code.
MASS20.
MASS20 is the New Greens code. Health yourself up. Health yourself up.
Health me, health you.
NanoCraft CBD. CBDs are here to stay, and they're here to help us stay.
Okay, guess what? So I ran out of the nighttime drops.
Oh my God, every week.
I ran out of the nighttime drops. So I've been taking the little nighttime gel caps.
Yeah.
They work good too.
See? I got an order in, and all of you listening, you should get an order in too. I forgot to film this episode. Should I turn it on?
No.
Should we go live?
No.
It's too late now.
Sorry. Use your imagination. What was life like before Instagram?
You.
Or
your
like,
imagination.
Use your, like,
youonline.com.
You picture us more handsome than we are.
Youonline.com is where we live. Adventure.io, K2 Snowboarding, Panic
we
and Coffee, and Tea Chemistry, Surfboards, YouOnline, New Greens, NanoCraft, Super 73, Camp Shred. Surf News is brought to you by Chemistry Surfboards.
Encinitas Board Riders Club beat San Clemente. Here,
extra, extra.
Read
all
about
it.
What, so
Encinitas
what was the deal?
Is number one.
What
all
was
right.
the deal?
West Coast Board Riders is a really fun, unique competition series. There's North, which is Santa Cruz. There's Middle, which is Huntington. There's South. The Southern Division. Heavyweights. San Clemente, La Jolla, Oceanside, Carlsbad, Encinitas. That's 5 teams, right?
Yeah.
Am I missing anyone?
What about way down south?
La Jolla is as far as it goes.
It doesn't go into like IB or anything?
No. It's broken up in age divisions. So
what's
4 surfers per division. I'm in the 40 and up division.
Is there one past that?
Yeah, 50 and up.
Oh, fuck, I could dominate that.
Yeah, right. Come try. No, it's really fun. It is so stressful. it's all good and it's all good times until you're at the beach. And here was my predicament, right? I'm in the 40 and up division for Encinitas.
Yeah.
And it was this week, you know, the team changes on availability or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I get the call up to the team. It's myself, Rob Machado, Zach Keenan, and Cody Steele.
Jeez.
On the beach, you've got a bunch of 40 and uppers that quote unquote didn't make the team. You got my brother, you got Brian Stanton, you've got this group
the heaviest rippers. Peanut gallery ever.
And they're looking at you like, all right, dude, you made the team.
Do something.
You don't blow this for everybody because we're right here and we should be on this team. The pressure is on.
So what?
First heat, I got Chris Ward, Taylor Knox, Jason Bennett, designer, shaper, ripper,
in
extraordinaire,
your heat.
And another guy in my heat.
So?
But.
What happened?
I got a 5-5.
Yep.
Which for me is great. That's just me coming off the bench, doing my job, okay. Right?
So where did you come out in that heat?
Did
you make the heat?
Well, you don't make heats. You just put up points for overall total.
So it's an overall total. Okay.
The 40 and up group, surprisingly, I got a higher score than Rob Machado got on his wave. Don't tell him I should do it.
How is that even possible?
He's our double whammy guy, and he got a pretty good one, probably got a 5-ish, and then he had some questionable priority things happening in the heat.
Whoa.
So he dropped a 3-6, double whammed it, got himself a 6-something. He usually double whammies nines. But, so we did okay. We got, I think, third in our 40 division, which was sketchy. Our women ripped. They won their division. Our grommets went nuts.
Yeah, I was talking to Kobe at Fish 101 the other night.
Kobe came through clutch.
He came through. Who else was in it?
The performer of the contest. Talking to anybody. I mean, San Clemente, they brought the Gudauskas brothers. They brought Ian Crane. They brought all their best pros.
But
Encinitas was just too much.
Who was
Taylor Clark? Taylor Clark paddles out, drops a 9, double whammy, 18 plus points, MVP, Encinitas, Board Riders, takes the win.
So it's over.
No, it's not over. There's more divisional events happening. We're all fighting for the top two teams from each division will make the finals, which will be at Lower Trestles. And you know what they say about...
That's like the prize.
Right, that's the prize. Getting to surf Lowers with four other guys.
Four guys.
Yeah. Four to five. I don't know. Well, but
that'd be amazing.
That's just... Now that's more pressure. We'll see what happens. Thank you for allowing me onto the team. I earned my way onto the team. My brother and I said that if the waves were 4 feet and up...
He would go?
4 feet or over, he's going. 4 feet under, I'm going.
And you guys
he's
agreed.
He's better than me. But in small waves... Throw some fins. Don't know how to ride the barrel. Never been on a wave over 8 feet, but that's neither here nor there. So follow West Coast Board Riders on Instagram. You'll see all the highlights.
Hey, how good have the waves been in Australia?
Oh my God.
Gold Coast has been
Hurricane
Euclid. Fieri.
It's like Hurricane Euclid came through.
Ukulele.
Freaking. Yeah, it's Brown Town, but man, is it good. I was talking to Steve Sherman, legendary photographer. We were talking about surfing at Snapper Rocks.
Mm-hmm.
Take Lower Trestles on its most crowded day. Maybe half the people out there surf well. The rest of them are trying. At Snapper, you've got a crowd like that, probably twice as many people.
Everyone and rips.
Everyone surfs good. Every single person, 70-year-old ladies out there doing freaking vertical snaps.
I saw Sierra Kerr get a crazy barrel.
I saw that barrel. Crazy. I mean, it's really starting, you know.
That's rad, though. I think that's cool to be in that because it forces you to surf better.
Oh, yeah.
Or at least you feel like you're surfing better, but then you see the footage and you realize that you're not.
It truly, I mean, it is a wonder of the world when the Super Bank is going. I've been out there in a couple days where it was just, it's so good, but there's so much happening, so many people, so much current that if you miss a wave, if you miss your opportunity to catch a wave, you're blown 150 yards down the beach. You're done.
What?
You gotta get out and run around.
Really? It's that crazy.
Just the current and everything happening. And if you do get a wave and don't have Parco, Fanning, whoever drop in on you, stuff you. You could get the wave of your life.
I could see them like looking at you and being like smiling and stuffing you. They're personally. Definitely gonna, personally they're you.
Oh yeah. Oh me, 100%. But everyone else, 100%. They're stuffing everybody.
Well, you know what? That's I'm sorry, but when you get really good, and I don't know, it's just it comes with the territory.
Dane Reynolds had a pretty good take.
I just was going to say that.
In his interview.
Yeah.
He said that guys like Mick Fanning and Jordy and, you know, upper elite.
Like, why should they?
Like to rape and pillage the sessions.
Yeah, but he also was talking about, like, why should they, why, just because you surf good, why should you take more waves?
I like that he kind of threw shade on that.
Dane's, he will say what is in his... In his head.
You know, it's interesting because there's kind of two sides of it, right? You have the side of, yeah, this is a pro surfer. They're out there. That's their job. And, you know, if they're not just being dicks about it, if they're just catching a lot of waves, well, yeah, they're really good. And part of that reason is because they catch a lot of waves. The other side of it is if it's a good day at your home break.
And then they show up.
And you're just out there to have fun. Maybe you're filming or something. And they come out there and just start shitting all over your break by taking all the waves. And you're like, dude, you get to travel the world. This happened with Taylor Knox out at a local break out here one time that
it
was
did.
Firing one day. Taylor Knox is out there just catching every wave because he's so good. And he's not a jerk by any means, but he's just notoriously great at paddling.
Well, you just know where to put yourself.
And people are going, dude, you get paid to travel the world to surf the best waves on the planet. Why do you have to come here on the one day of the year that's breaking?
Someone said that to him?
Yeah.
That would be like a full like, wah, wah,
right?
Because like you would have, maybe you'd be like, well, fuck you, man, in your head, like in the moment. But then you'd be in the parking lot like, man, he's kind of right.
Well, maybe who, Taylor would be?
Yeah. Like yeah. Initially you would be like, you would be defensive because that's just like human nature.
Yeah.
And then you would be in the parking lot, like, feeling like a schmuck.
Yeah. And the funny thing is, Taylor's the nicest dude ever.
Probably like, the best.
But, inherently, every top-level pro surfer is going to catch more waves than you. You know? Mm-hmm. If you watch a day at Lowers, on a crowded day, the same names are getting all the best waves.
Right.
You know, Dane Gadowski, Tanner Gadowski, the same names that you see. So... I don't know. It's not an argument to me. I'm not super I maybe get competitive once a month in the water.
You do?
Yeah. But where I surf, none of you won't. Will you surf Seaside?
It's too far away.
Shark Park?
Too far.
It's very intimidating down there, not because people out there are dicks, but because everybody surfs good. And the crowd is basically the same 20 people every day. Mm-hmm. And so it's not an easy or friendly place for people to come, not because they're getting vibed, but just because people out there are in the zone and they're so good.
Everyone knows where the sand is good, and
they make
just
it hard for everybody to catch waves. Hence,
well,
the reason why nobody wants to surf there, which is great.
It's like a fulfilling, self-fulfilling
prophecy,
legend / prophecy / whatever. It's like then rumor gets around that oh, you don't want to go.
Don't
there.
Go there. Well, right? It's true. It's really sharky. The crowd is just the worst, and. Yeah, you should probably surf other places, I would say. I'm not saying that because...
I mean, that goes for every spot in town.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
Encinitas is
super
very
sharky, and it's blown.
Yeah. But come to drink our coffee, yeah. Please.
I mean, just hang out.
No, bro. I'm not... Whatever. People, you can surf wherever you want.
Who cares?
I don't care. This is... I care about this.
What?
San Diego's 74th annual celebration of the champions. Or salute to the champions. There's a thing in San Diego called the Breitbart Hall of Fame.
Did you say Breitbart?
Not to be confused with the Breitbart Hall of Shame. So this is a San Diego Hall of Fame that has had NFL stars like Reggie Bush, champions like Jerry Coleman, icons of sport. Never had a surfer in there until now.
Gary Coleman?
My teammate from the Encinitas Board Riders. Rob Machado. Rob Machado is now in the San Diego Sports Hall of Fame.
What about the Tony Hawk?
He needs to do a little bit more.
I thought that Tony Hawk was already in there.
Needs to do a little, accomplish a little bit more. I think he's already in there.
He's in there.
I know he's in there. Why? How could Tony Hawk not be in there?
Right.
So now we have a surfer in there, Rob Machado.
Perfect.
And Stab compiled a list of Rob's accomplishments.
Let's hear it.
Pipe Masters winner, U.S. Open winner, former world number two, the number one surfboard salesman in the world. The Machado boards are flying like hotcakes.
Are they really? Does he have the number one surfboard in the world?
He's killing it.
Wow.
That's when Hurley stopped sponsoring him. I'm thinking he's fine. He's going to be okay.
He outsold the Hipto Crypto?
I believe so.
Wow.
I have no facts to back anything up ever. So let's just go ahead and say yeah. Best hair in the sport, 20 consecutive years. He's the only thing. So ping pong and hair. That's what Rob has over Kelly Slater, according to Stab.
All the Groms that hang out at my house call him Hobo Joe.
Yeah. If you look into his hair for too long,
there's people in there.
You can get lost. There's a lot going on.
You know, they filmed the Jungle Book in his hair.
Right. Yeah. It's close to dreads. It's not dreads. It's curly. It's straight. It's a brown. It's blonde. It's gray. It's everything.
Rumor has it that if you squeeze his hair, you get acai juice.
If you smoke Rob's hair like a joint, you're going to serve 15% faster.
It's CBM.
It's crazy.
CB Machado.
I've put Rob's hair on top of my hair.
Does
and
it
made
improve
my
your look?
Own hairstyle. I looked pretty good.
Wow.
I don't know how he surfs so fast and so good in small waves with 60 pounds of hair. Because
he has bird bones.
So, but how does he not fall over?
Because
with
now
that
he's
hair?
Just the weight of a normal person.
Rob is still jamming with his band Sack Lunch. They actually played the victory party for Insane Board Riders, along with a band called The Chimmies.
He's also a rad dad.
You've seen The Chimmies.
Chimmy? Changa?
The Chimmies kid band.
Which one is that?
They play Brohim. They play Iron Maiden.
Sure.
Shout out there. Stab did an interview of Dane Reynolds.
We were just talking about that.
And, yeah, Dane is his usual self.
You know what's
Does
funny?
Does he like you? Would you say Dane Reynolds likes you?
Yeah, we're bros.
Good for you.
He invited you to Stab High. If you watch that interview,
yeah,
and Dane starts talking about like Ryan Birch's shapes and like how like he starts talking about how the evolution of the shortboard, like, does it need to evolve anymore? Is it just is it perfect? And then he's kind of like complaining about the modernization of like asymmetrical fin setups, and then but at the same time he's kind of saying like maybe there could be something there. But then they show footage of him on one of Ryan Birch's boards, and he's just fucking destroying on that board.
Yeah, it's an interesting point that he makes.
I think
along with Jordy saying maybe we've reached the peak.
I think it's true. I honestly think it's true in skating, as Dane said in that interview. I think it's true in snowboarding, and now it's like people are bored, so they're making their snowboards have like weird tips and tails that doesn't really change the overall.
My parents gave me a weird tip.
They did?
Yeah.
How many M&Ms can you put in it?
No, it's just a weird tip. I agree to a certain point, but then I also disagree because it seems like every year there's something that it could be subtle, right?
Like what?
You know, a new kind of stringer pattern.
But it's just weird.
New
it's all recycled.
It's subtle.
It's all recycled
subtle.
Stuff, though. I mean, even like the modern boards now that, like, you know, those, they've kind of been done, right?
So what are you going to do?
Maybe you just, I don't know.
Well, but then you've got mid-lengths coming heavily into style. You've got new tail designs.
But aren't mid-lengths just boards that are too big
for you?
Basically
from the late 70s, early 80s.
Right, but aren't they just boards that are too big for you?
According to who?
According to the sizing.
No, because what's too big for you?
I don't know, like... Okay, well,
just
the way
you have you ever ridden a mid-length?
Sure.
When?
I've had eggs over the years.
You have fallopian eggs.
Yeah, you are a fallopian tube.
What'd you think
toupee.
Of the mid-length?
What I think it catches a lot of waves.
Did you? I have a couple mid-lengths. I've never not had fun on a mid-length.
That's what I'm saying.
I got a 6'10" and a 7'2".
Okay.
Mid-length egg.
And are they egg just egg?
But you wouldn't say that's too big for you. It's a mid-length.
No, but that's like almost like what I consider like when it's like desperate time.
I like Joel Tudor's outlook on boards. Ride the board for the wave.
Right.
So if it's flat, ride a longboard.
Or a skateboard.
Or, you know, you don't need to spaz on a small wave board.
When it's flat, you ride the skateboard.
Sometimes I like to spaz on my small wave. I love surfboards. And that's really the...
Surfboard is cool.
Surfboard is good.
I like surfboard.
And I want more Dane Reynolds. So more interviews, more action.
I wonder if he's commentating the Stab event with me in Melbourne.
I don't know what you're talking about. What is that?
He's funny though. He tells the raddest stories in like the most monotone style. And some of them are just like the weirdest stories.
I'd love to see Dane in the contest.
He was kind of in it.
I saw the list. I did not see the list.
You didn't see the list?
No. I wasn't invited to view the list. I know I saw the Red Bull Airborne list.
You did? Where's that?
I can't tell you.
Is that going to be during
You're not invited.
Is that going to be during the Quicksilver?
It is. Comp? Yeah. And I'll be watching that on TV as well. Mm-hmm. But the high note there is new episodes, a whole new season of Red Bull's 21 Hours, hosted by Chris Cote.
Who's the person this year?
You're going to have to wait and see.
I don't like waiting.
Coming soon, folks. Get excited. We're going to definitely win all the awards.
Okay.
For best.
Go for stuff. It. Why don't you go ahead and try that?
I'm going to try. We're going to try our best. It's happening soon. More to come, Todd.
I found a GoPro on the beach today.
Really?
Yep.
Let's look at it and see if there's any
I already brought it home, but
pornography on it.
But I will later. And it looks like it was there like a long time.
Really?
Yeah. Because it's not a Hero 8. It's like a Hero 5. Like
so we're talking about maybe potentially self-shot pornography from 2008?
With mermaids.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Anyway.
What if you found it? I actually found
a snuff
a GoPro phone? On the beach.
You did?
And I looked at the footage, and it was a kid from the neighborhood.
And you gave it?
And I gave it back. Mm-hmm. I mean,
don't
call me a hero.
You gave him the card back. You're all, I found this card on the beach.
It's not wet. It's perfect. Enjoy. I'm going to go film myself with this GoPro that I bought 2 weeks ago. Kanoa Igarashi has a new edit called Freedom. Man, he's good.
Yeah, Kanoa's good. Good times.
He's really good. Tanner Carney made it. It's 13 minutes of A-grade footage, all shot in 1 month.
Is 13 minutes too long for a clip-filled thing with one person now?
I don't know because I fast-forwarded through most of it.
So, yes.
To watch
you're saying yes.
No, it was I don't think so.
How many minutes of actual surfing do you think are in it?
Probably 10
Four,
minutes.
10?
8 minutes. The intro is, I really liked the I mean, this is going to sound weird. I really liked the graphics that he had on there.
Okay.
So it said freedom, and then under it was in cool kind of neon Japanese writing, freedom. But Kanoa Igarashi is definitely going to be battling for a world title in 2020
and an Olympic gold medal.
Dude's ripping. This is also another cool thing that I had no idea was happening, but I watched it, and this one had my interest piqued. O'Neill's, so I'm reading this off, I don't know where I found this. Let's just say I found this on, I think, Surfer Magazine.
All right.
Deke Angel, who is O'Neill's creative director, teamed up with Riley Blakeway, who's made a ton of amazing surf and skate flicks. They got together with a gasoline generator and a projector and a red camera and photos of Mr. O'Neill, and they projected the photos and clips on iconic landmarks around Santa Cruz. And it was really cool because they had the bluff at Steamer Lane, and Jack O'Neill's eye patch and beard was shown on the bluff. It looked really cool. So that told me that there's a lot of creative things happening out there, and it's still possible. It's still possible to do something cool. And this one's only 3 minutes.
I think that's cool to do the big projection.
I love projections on stuff. And honestly, no matter what it is, I'm down for projections of things onto things. Put that in your notes of stuff about me you like, Kay. Todd. He likes projection. I like that he likes projections of things on things. Put that in your notes about me.
Project yourself.
Globe. What do you think? Let's start high level. What do you think of Globe?
What do you think of Globe?
Globe.
I think
shoes. Globe footwear basically is
Globe
what it
went
would,
away.
Okay.
And then Globe came back.
Globe came in hot in the
Globe went away
late
and 90s. Globe went away, and then Globe came back in certain places, mainly Australia.
That's your synopsis of the Globe.
I don't know. It's just Globe is like always like when I think Globe, I think of Chet Thomas.
Right.
I think of Ellis.
Jason Ellis. Hobgood Brothers, maybe.
The Hobgoods wrote for Globe?
Yep.
Who else is on Globe?
Joe G has made all
Taj
the amazing
Barrow was on Globe.
Taj Barrow.
Barrow.
Barrow, mate.
Taj Barrow.
And that brings me to this point of news.
Anyway,
Taj Barrow
is Globe back?
Taj Barrow is no longer writing for Billabong. That Globe sticker that's lived on Taj's board forever, boom, moved up to the nose. They're making clothes now, Todd.
Shut the front
They're
door.
They're making t-shirts with air pockets.
Wait, what?
No, I don't know. But the good news here is you've got now some rumblings of a return. Globe hasn't really gone anywhere in Australia. Fell out of favor a little bit in America. And I think it was because they just didn't. Well, I mean,
puffy shoes went out of style.
Yeah, but Mark Appleyard never went out of style. He still rocks Globes. His Globe
shoes.
Does
he really?
Cool. Yeah.
But how?
Appleyard has great Globe shoes.
You know what they need to do to get their foot back in the door in the United States is sponsor a podcast.
That would be hype.
Whatever.
I got some breaking news.
Okay, go.
Nora Vasconcelos was a block away, and I said, come to the podcast. And she said, my parents are in town. I said, bring them. She says, we're already on the golf course.
Golf course? Schmolf course.
She's got a lot of excuses of why not to hang out with us.
I hung out with her yesterday and her family.
Oh, maybe it's just me. Shit. Have fun. Yeah, so this is actually cool news because I love what Globe's done in the cinema realm. Mm-hmm. Remember when Years Around the Sun, my former band, had a song in a Globe movie?
You did?
Yeah.
Which movie?
We actually played a Globe premiere.
I don't think Globe is just one of those brands that like it hasn't airwalked itself. It hasn't like Vision streetwear'd itself.
There's not a lot of scar tissue
or
there.
DVS. Like there's not it's just kinda like
what's better, Globe or DVS?
Globe.
If you wrote
Globe.
For one,
Globe.
Globe or DVS?
Globe.
Okay, Globe or Lakai? Who are you riding for?
Lakai.
Okay, well, then there's the difference.
But I'll
Globe
tell you
or Vans?
I'll tell you this. Globe or Vans?
Yeah.
It depends on who's
Globe's
paying
you 15% more.
Oh, then Globe.
You are a sponsor hopper.
I got mouths to feed, Chris.
You do.
But listen, I'll tell you what. I think that there's a couple brands that have kind of gone by the wayside
that could be coming back.
Well, that I think are coming back and that could do it because it's been long enough.
Penny skateboards.
No, I claim that in the next 3 years that Airwalk makes a resurgence.
Airwalk.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed that you were in an Airwalk advertisement where you got shot by a trank dart from a helicopter.
That was Noah Brandon, but I put that on my Instagram yesterday.
That was what?
Follow at B Todd Richards. It was just an old Airwalk commercial back when the industry had money and you could spend a couple $100,000 on a TV commercial. But anyway, it's funny because you read the comments that when you post pictures of old stuff, old boots.
I love this.
Yeah,
reissue
I love this.
This.
Reissue this. And then I kind of heard rumblings that there are some backers that may be pushing Airwalk again. And it's not like, I mean, Airwalk did kind of like, they kind of went payless.
The difference between Airwalk and Globe is Globe never
payless.
Fully, quote unquote, sold out.
Right.
Do you like when I do air quotes on a podcast that nobody can see?
I saw it though.
You saw it. No one ever's like
air quote.
Quote
and air
that's
quote.
Why I say quote end quote. Ad nauseum.
Do you think companies that like have gone the sellout route, is it possible for them to come back?
Yes.
Can you name one that's done that?
I mean, I can name a million that have come close.
To coming back?
Bad Boy Club, Maui and Sons,
mm-hmm.
which both have pockets of coolness around the
what
world.
What about Element skateboards?
I mean, I don't think Element almost completely...
Did they almost sell out?
Almost sold out. But they are so skate-focused, and they do cool mm-hmm. shit. Their team is still amazing.
But like World Industries.
I mean, World Industries is it could easily be well, not easily. It could be cool again, quick,
mm-hmm.
because it's done. It's sold. It's sold. It's sold out is done.
Right.
It's sold out.
Well, that's what I'm saying is I think that there's some positioning, and whether or not you like these brands or didn't and thought they were whack or they weren't.
Yeah.
I mean, Airwalk went out of style at a time when DC and these other brands were coming up quick, and it was all like,
yeah,
there was super hardcore skate. And if you were in the click, you were in the click, and Airwalk just wasn't.
Right.
You know,
but
so,
Airwalk was the shoe.
For a long time, yeah. Everyone freaking rode for Airwalk.
Airwalk with the lace savers. What were those called?
I never had those. Oh, the prototypes?
Prototypes.
I had so many Jason Lees.
The Airwalk 1, right?
Well, there was Jason Lee had a shoe. He had the Jason Lee shoe.
Okay.
And I had like a gazillion pairs.
And it had kind of a...
It looked like these. It looked like a Vans. Basic, like a low cut Vans shoe. Anyway,
that's what happens when a big corporation buys your company.
But let me finish my thought.
On Globe?
On all this.
Okay.
Is that, look, there was a time not very long ago that if you told me that Vans would be in the position they're in now, 10 years ago, I would have said you're crazy because Vans was like the wackest of the whack for a while. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like back when like puffy shoes were in.
And I think they did well because they admitted that.
And they also didn't change their formula. They just stayed true. They didn't try to become whatever. Anyway, tangent over. End quote.
The one thing that gets me excited about the Globe announcement that Taj is now in Globe. Taj obviously rips.
We don't get enough footage of Taj.
But that tells me that Joe G, Dion, Creed, Aki, the Hobgoods, there could be something brewing.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope so. I'm a Globe fan. I haven't had a pair of Globe shoes in forever, but
did you ever wear gloves?
Oh, for sure.
All right, enough Globe.
Yeah. I was Coach Cote at the Globe Fiji Pro 2 years running.
Coach Cote?
They gave me a giant bar tab, and I used every cent of that bar tab.
There you go.
Getting hyphy. Drinking.
Yeah.
Enablers. That's what they call it. You mentioned it. Cyclone UESI. So that's happening. We saw that.
It's over now.
The Challenger Series starts soon. This is going to be big time. The Sydney Surf Pro is starting March 9th. QS 10,000. And from there, it goes to New Zealand. The Corona Piha Pro, March 16th. Kelly Slater, Bethany Hamilton, Carissa Moore, they're going to be in Piha, New Zealand.
That's cool. Does this have there are no Olympic implications at this point?
No.
This is just collecting points.
Collecting points towards qualification. Some of these surfers are doing it, you know, there might be appearance fee, there might be contract stuff that they have to compete in an event or whatever it is.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's going to be cool to see Slater, Carissa, world champions going. Bethany Hamilton is always
very
fun
cool
to watch.
And
compete.
I'm sure the people will be really stoked in New Zealand to have those guys there.
They call, you know, people from Piha, they call them Pihapo. I don't know if you knew that.
Pihapo.
People from Piha, New Zealand are referred to as Pihapo in some circles. So we're gonna get a real good look at who could potentially be qualifying for 2021 mm-hmm. on the CT after the two big events. It's game on. Anthony Walsh won the Perfect Chapter Red Bull Tube Riding Contest in Cascais, Portugal. Invite only, 7 or 8 surfers involved. Pretty cool. Show up, put a jersey on, get tubed, win. That's what Anthony Walsh did. Tanner Gudauskas dropped a zine, talked about the very top of the show. And I got to say, I've been listening to a lot of audiobooks about independent rock and roll, punk rock, starting of record labels, you know, Discord, the DIY ethos. And it made me really miss zines.
Like Maximum Rock and Roll?
I made a zine.
You did?
In junior high. It's called, what was it called? Subcurrent, it was called.
Oh, Subcurrent.
Had Boilermaker in it, interviews with all our friends.
Mm-hmm.
But I love that Tanner Gudauskas is back in zine town. Go to Tanner Gudauskas' Instagram.
Do you remember when you used to read zines and it would come off on your hands?
Yes, I love that.
Awesome.
I love.
Thrasher used to come off on your hands, too.
Yeah.
Newsprint.
Yeah.
All right.
It's exciting. Any more news, Todd?
Skate news.
Surf news?
Nope.
Skate news is brought to you by Adventure.io.
An adventure with us is coming.
It's coming. Get ready for it.
Again.
I want to say, Alex White, thank you. The Côté boys are officially a Crux family.
I was given Crux as well.
And your Crux family as well?
We're a Crux family.
Are you going to put the Crux on the boards?
I'll put the Crux on.
I'm going to put the Crux on the boards. I can't wait. My kids were freaking on SpongeBob trucks. There's a truck with three puppies on it.
Three puppy truck?
Oh, they're hyped.
You know what's crazy? And this is awesome in our house. Is like daughter skated when she was really little. Didn't have any interest in skating. All of a sudden, she's 100% back to skate daughter again.
Oh, that's so rad. You guys were skating curbs the other day.
We went and skated red curbs the other day. And it was the first time that she ever like really skated a red curb.
That's so fun.
And she's like just doing long 50-50s and she's all. But now she's torn because yesterday she got a brand new Nora board and she got brand new Nora trucks and she doesn't want to ruin the trucks because she likes them. And I'm like trying to tell her like this is
the
deal.
We're sponsored.
Like, yeah. Like you can have anything.
Honey, we've got Alex White. Okay.
Anyway, but it's very.
Wreck that shit.
It's cool. And she doesn't want like. She's really in a position now where. She loves to skateboard.
Yeah.
But she doesn't like, she's afraid that people will call her a poser. And I'm like, no, you're out doing it. Like, you're out. Like, she was killing herself the other day to, like,
yeah,
do like long 50-50s on this curb. I'm like, that is not, you're not posing.
Yeah.
It's weird. Like, teenagers are weird. They get their heads full of, like, the dumbest.
If you wear a Thrasher shirt to school, right. Oh, you're a poser.
I didn't, like, that is, that whole thing with the Thrasher shirt becoming, like, a thing.
Yeah.
That's so weird to me that has become like a trend. And I guess the trend is kind of over. This is like last year trend. But
right.
Like, the fact that like wearing a
Justin Bieber's rockin' Thrasher
never
shirts.
In a million fucking years would I think that a Thrasher sweatshirt slash T-shirt slash hat would be like what like goons would wear.
Right. Well, it kind of reminds me of a lot of in a context of a band, right? Think of a band like Nirvana,
mm-hmm.
Rage Against the Machine, I'm sure. Pearl Jam has said this. They start off and they have the
Primus.
Coolest of the cool fans, and the fans come to the shows, and they're in the club, and people are being respectful, and they're dancing, and they're really into the music.
Mm-hmm.
Year later, Nirvana's playing giant festivals for the shittiest people, you know, mm-hmm. shirtless jocks. Fighting in the mosh pit,
right?
Just against everything that Nirvana probably wants,
mm-hmm.
and they hate the fans.
See, that's why I think that like the Insane Clown Posse has it right.
Exactly,
Juggalos for life.
Yeah,
what?
Because it's their thing,
right? They're Juggalos,
and they make no qualms about it. When a band gets super big. Think about, okay, so Rage Against the Machine, if you look at them, they have a tour starting, right?
Mm-hmm.
Super political, anti-bullying, and, you know, feminism. They're about it,
yep.
for all their altruistic
yep.
reasons.
Yep.
Probably have the jockiest, worst fan base ever.
Well, yeah, and it's like, I blame fucking X Games.
Oh.
And, like, things, whoa. Like, action sporty things like that, that are, like, the ones that aren't in it, but, like... You know, there's just, and like, we have a joke around my house. There's like, there's songs that come on the radio that may be like a band, that's like decent, but you could fully picture it as like the going to commercial at the X Games.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, we'll summon, be able to get the 95. Stick around, we'll be right back. And you have like some
Sale.
Yeah, but not. I'm not saying that Sale is like.
I know. I'm,
you know
I,
what I mean? Though
I defend
like,
that song. I like,
you
that,
like
song.
That song.
Yeah, I do. I met the kid that made that song, and he's a surfer. He's just a rad kid.
Really?
That made it in his bedroom.
He made that song in his bedroom?
Yes.
He was Billie Eilish before Billie Eilish was Billie
yes.
Eilish?
Yeah.
Fucking Sale, dude.
Brilliant.
Fucking. Let's just say it together.
Sale! Damn it, I wish I would have wrote that song.
It's kind of like I mean, if you can make a song that becomes...
One word.
Becomes a meme?
Yep.
That's fucking sweet.
What were we talking about? Skateboarding? Skateboard
we're,
news.
We're talking about Thrasher shirts and stuff. Okay,
okay.
Yeah, let's
well,
go.
Well, then
let's
this actually is
go.
In line with that conversation.
Let's go.
Pharrell Williams, you know, the
ice cream skateboards.
Producer, rapper.
Did he do skateboards or just clothing?
Yeah.
Remember when he did ice cream?
Don't know. I don't remember.
Don't be a dick.
No, I know what you're talking about. I'm not really sure.
Sale.
He did Billionaire Boys Club. He did ice cream, which was kind of, I'd say streetwear. So he is producing a new film for Mikey Alfred. It's called North Hollywood.
Okay.
It's being promoted as the first ever film to portray a skater's journey to the pro ranks. You know, like in Tony Hawk's Underground, this was on the barracks, right? Tony Hawk's Underground, the whole thing was you're trying to go pro. And so you do these challenges and you have to pass certain levels and then you finally get pro if you beat the game, right?
I don't know. I wasn't trying to go pro, bro. I just did it for the love.
You suck. You don't even get it. You don't even know.
Did you ever
special
make it?
Tricks.
You went pro? Who's your character? Who did you always choose?
I skated with Bam a lot in the earlier renditions.
I think I was Jamie
Bob
Thomas.
Burnquist.
Jamie Thomas a lot. He had better tricks.
Jamie. I celebrated everybody, really.
He had like laser flips.
Yeah. So yeah, this is pretty cool. So I think so Mikey Alfred was part of the Jonah Hill film mid-90s.
Mm-hmm.
Mikey Alfred part of what's their crew called? Illegal Civilization. Illegal Civ. A real hardcore skate crew. And now they've branched out, they're freaking becoming Hollywood moguls. So this will be interesting because now this Jonah Hill grew up skating. To his credit, he loved skateboarding. Mid-90s was his love letter to skateboarding. Some people said he was being a poser.
No.
I liked the movie.
I liked it too. And I think that it's, you know, whatever. What is a poser?
Exactly. I enjoyed that movie. Now, this one is even coming from a more core level, which I think is going to make it interesting. North Hollywood. It's got a bunch of skaters in it.
It's
Vince Vaughn's
in
it.
It's called North Hollywood?
It's called North Hollywood.
Wow.
Get ready for it.
When is that?
North of Hollywood.
No, that's
It's in LA.
No, I know where.
It's just north of downtown.
All right. This bit has gone past. It's
okay. If you want to get excited right now about skating, go to Abnormal Communication episode 2. Gons is back with another multimedia odyssey. Stunts, skating, Silas, Suchi, Tony Hawk. It's on Thrasher magazine right now.
Tony Hawk.
The Tony Hawk is in Abnormal Communication, made by Gons. And our friend, Andrew Cannon, one of the brilliant minds behind Santa Cruz Skateboards, has, with the team, made a big decision. They just turned Mario McCoy pro.
Wow. I saw.
Really
they're
good.
That was like yesterday, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I wonder what Jeff Kendall said about that.
I don't know.
I always call
Jeff Kendall probably said, Andrew, if you think he's good enough to be pro, make him pro.
You know, I call Andrew and ask him like what Jeff Kendall's doing.
Yeah.
Because I'm a Jeff Kendall
That's
super
true.
Fan.
You know there's a guy named Jeff Kendall who lives in Leucadia on my street?
Not the same dude.
Not the same dude, but he's cool. I just remembered that. Our friend Neil Mims was on the 9 Club.
Then what happened?
He was on there for about 3 hours.
I love when you like know people that are on the 9 Club.
Yeah. So let's call Neil.
Yeah, let's call Neil.
Okay.
You think he'll answer?
Well,
he actually drove
to LA.
He's probably
in Brazil right now.
He's got a busy schedule. He's coaching a lot of kids.
He's doing
He's probably
something.
One of the most positive people I've ever met.
He might be at the Olympics already.
I doubt that. He would go to China right now. No problem.
Oh, for sure. What?
It's as if you're listening to this live somewhere.
How did you know? How did you know that that's what was happening, to be honest? This is Neil Mims here. Say hi, Todd.
Hi, Neil. Hello.
Now that you're on the 9 Club, I'm sure all a bunch of people that never call you are calling you, right?
Yes, that's funny. Look, he's saying the same thing. I'm with Nicole right now, and we were just talking about that, how overwhelming, like, sometimes response is from people. And, I mean, it's cool. It's flattering, but it's so overwhelming at the same time. That's funny. He just said that.
Well, I was down. Todd and I were down with Neil Mims way before the 9 Club.
That's right. We liked you before you went 9.
Well, you're on a far less popular podcast now called The Monday Mass. And we want to say congrats on being 9 Clubbed. The episode was amazing. And what we wanted to know quickly, I know you're busy. We're talking about you're probably in China coaching doing something wild. So tell us what the process is like going to the Nine Club. Did you feel pressure? Were you thinking, I gotta have my best stories ready? What was it like to go on the Nine Club knowing that you're probably going to be on there for 7 hours? You're going to tell your whole life story. What was it like getting prepared for that?
Well, there was no preparation, really. Here's how I've always looked at being interviewed, is I try, and I learned this the hard way, actually, because I used to try and think of stuff like, oh, am I going to say this? I need to talk about this, or I need to bring this up. And I learned that that makes me more nervous, because then I put myself on the spot to say a certain thing, and I just don't think of it in time, and then I'm getting nervous, and I can't talk, and then I'm uncomfortable the whole time. So before I go into any interview, and this just has happened within the past, like, I don't know, 5 to 10 years, not that I've done a lot of interviews, but I always just clear my head, and I'm like, I just always say a little prayer to the universe, wherever, you know, whatever you want to call it. I kind of just put it out there like, hey, I'm just going to speak from my heart when the time is right, you know, then it comes out naturally. So that, there's no preparation. By the way, I don't think there was enough time for me to share everything. That's why I thought you guys were calling. I was like, man, I forgot some stuff I could share with you guys.
What? Yeah. Well, mention, yeah.
You didn't mention us, which maybe.
What do you want to share, Neil? Go.
Neil, got like 3 or 4 more hours.
Neil wants to share the fact that I call him and try to get him to come to Encinitas at 6 a.m. to skate. And he lives next door to the skate park in Vista. And I still haven't been there, making me the dick.
I haven't been there either.
We're coming to Vista.
Yeah.
We're coming to Vista.
Good. Please do, because I've invited you a few times just the same. But, you know, it's a mission. And my life is busy. Your life is busy. You're a family guy. I'm a family guy. So are you, Todd. You know, it's just hard to make it all connect at the right time. But I think it'll happen when it's meant to. That's
when it comes together, it will be like Voltron.
Hey, we love you. We don't have 4 hours to talk to you, unlike other podcasts. So that was it. That was 3 minutes with Neil Mims.
Oh, hey, I appreciate you guys calling. That's kind of it's an awesome call, and I love what you guys are doing over there, too. So thanks again for thinking of me.
We're going to get him in person.
We'll get Neil in person.
We love you.
Bye, Neil.
We love you and your wife and your children and everybody associated with the Mims movement.
Hey. Back. Thanks again for
calling.
I hope to shred and hang with you guys soon.
That's what's up. Neil Mims. I just hung up on him.
That's cool.
Sorry. Jeez, get on the Nine Club, you do the whole thing, and then you get hung up on by the Monday Mass.
I think people forget how flipping good Neil Mims is as a skateboarder.
Now, I know we always say, go listen to the Nine Club. It's great. It's the best skate podcast out.
Easily.
But now we don't have to plead with you. Because you might have already planned on doing it.
You're already listening to Neil Mims' podcast on the Nine Club.
It's epic. In other skate news, thanks again to Alex White for hooking it up. The family sponsorships. Not because we skate well, but because we're nice people.
Our friends are cool news.
Yeah.
Did you see that Nora just dropped a can with June Shine? Like, you know, she's great.
Oh, yeah.
Skateboarder, but she also dropped a signature flavor with June Shine. It's like
Nora flavor.
Nora berries or blueberries or something. Anyway,
right.
It's purple-ish. Go figure.
Purple drank.
Yeah, it's purple.
I wonder if Nora drank June Shine while golfing with her parents.
Probably. Yeah, you know what I really wonder? She's really built this whole career over this like lavender thing.
Yeah.
She's going to be over it soon. And then what?
She just recently said, I don't even like purple.
Yeah, how do you reinvent yourself after your whole brand is based on one color?
My recommendation would be go goth.
Ooh.
When in doubt, go goth. Goth Nora 2021. I should be in marketing. Mm. That's a great idea. Face paint. Nora shows up, black hair, face paint, black clothing.
Yeah, sure.
Let's
Whatever.
Go.
Nosferatu, let's do this.
Well, that was skateboarding news, that was brought to you by Adventure.io.
Here comes snowboarding news.
Snow
right
news
now,
is like brought to you by K2
Avalanche.
Snowboarding. Don't say the A word. K2 Snowboarding proudly presents Vertical, a short film featuring Jody Wachniak, Matt Belzeal, Curtis Sizek.
Sizek.
That's what I said.
Belzeal.
Yeah. I think I said all those names right. And it's made by the Man Boys. and Connor Winton and Benjamin Webb. And you need to watch it right now. The editing by Seamus Foster. Come on. It's great. And we're going to get into Snow News.
Point to Seamus Foster on the map.
I know Seamus Foster. He's a wonderful editor. Before we get into
Is this where we drop the traditional Zeb Powell interview? Let's give a little bit of background on Zeb Powell.
Okay,
here we go.
You go. You said let's, but I'm leaning on you for that.
East Coast snowboarder on the come up.
How old is he?
I don't know how old he is. I think he's probably like...
Well, is he 10 years old? 20,
maybe 20, 21, somewhere. He's younger.
Young. He's a young man.
He has an insane air awareness. That he can flip in and flip out of basically anything. He rides for Nitro.
Okay.
And he is on the come up. He is the next generation of super shreds coming out of the East Coast. And I am excited to see what happens with him.
I'm excited to see, listen to this interview that our friend Derek did. Derek is a longtime friend of the Mass. He's called in. He's done a couple quick little interviews. And now we got Derek on the streets, actually in the car with Zeb, heading up to Bear Mountain. And I just said, yo, interview this fool.
All right.
Give us the scoop of what Zeb's all about.
All right.
Here it is.
Just getting to ride a knuckle at night, nighttime.
Yeah.
It was like perfect weather too. Seeing everyone, like all the pros, like all my favorite pros and everything. It was super sick. Yeah, I still can't believe it.
Yeah,
still can't believe it happened.
Definitely so. Full sends on the TV.
Yeah.
For the people at home, that was sick. So you're out here hanging with us, partying in the plaza. Your first time at Bear. Are you excited to shred?
Oh yeah, I'm so excited. It reminds me of my mountain I ride back at East Corinthia. Just like a full lap of park and rails and jibs and jumps, everything. Yeah.
Setup is pretty fun, pretty insane. They just got, I think, a foot on Sunday and Monday. But right after this, you're back down to San Diego, flying out. You get to chill at home a little bit, but then it sounds like you have another heavy snowboard travel schedule. What do you have coming up?
All right, so I go home for a few days. Gonna chill for a few days, then try to go film some street, I think. We also have like a snowboard production going on in Vermont, Ash and Steel at Corinthia. So that should be sick. And then I go back home for a minute and do this small event in North Carolina called Easy Does It. It's kind of like another type of like Holy Bowly or like snowboard production type of event back east. So that should be sick too. Get to see everyone, say hey after the big win. And then after that, I go back up to Vermont for the sliding tour for Red Bull too, and that's gonna be like all over like northern or the northeast, like Vermont and New Hampshire, I think.
And then you got a big Euro trip, huh?
Yeah, as of now. I think I'm gonna be touring Europe for 2 weeks with Nitro.
Hell yeah. Well, that's gonna wrap it up on the chairlift at Bear. Dude, thanks for being out here. Thanks for coming on the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, dude, anytime. And back to you, boys. See you at Panikin.
And that interview ended with our friend saying, see you at Panikin. Derek, we love you. Zeb, we love you too, man. That was just a little... That was snowboarders in cars going places doing... talking for the Monday Mass exclusive. Todd, you're not going to hear that interview anywhere else
on the internet. I bet you won't hear it anywhere.
No. Bend, Oregon. Mount yes. Bachelor announced they're going to be opening a Woodward Peace Park.
I was literally just there.
Where?
At Mount Bachelor.
In Oregon.
Doing the planning of the Woodward Peace Park and the Woodward Peace Park Championships. The Woodward Peace Park is open there, and it is fantastic. It is probably the best peace park that I've ridden.
Really?
So far. It is flowy. Mount Bachelor's terrain is a natural pairing with what Peace Park and Danny Davis and Snowpark Technologies and Woodward and Powder Corp are all about.
And God, Bachelor's been scoring this season.
Bachelor's my favorite place to go snowboarding. Period. in the United
really?
In the United States. It is.
Wow.
It just because it's like, and I spent a lot of time there on my early career because Morrow Snowboards was based out of Salem. Rob Morrow would ride at Bachelor all the time, and I just ended up riding.
You've
it.
Had
actually,
a lot of bachelor parties.
I've lived in Bend, Oregon.
Really?
Yep. You know, it's rad. Bachi's the shit. People that come out of there, like the Ferguson brothers, Josh Dirksen, Austin Smith. Well, Curtis Cizik wasn't from there. He's from Mammoth, but now he lives there. It's just, it breeds people who know how to ride snowboards.
Right.
Doesn't particularly, like, there hasn't really been, like, a super pipe at Bachelor, but you get guys like the Fergusons that come out of there that, like, they freaking rip pipe because they know how to ride a snowboard, and that's what Bachelor taught them. So,
yeah,
the combination of the Woodward Peace Park with Mount Bachelor and moving forward into why I was there was we were planning for the Woodward Peace Park or Danny Davis's Peace Park Championships, which is going to be going down in late April. And I'll tell you what, the stuff that we are going to do there and provide for these riders, the terrain that we're building is unflipping believable.
Can I come?
You want to go?
Yeah.
I think it'd be rad if you went, actually.
I think that would be awesome. Love yeah. to finally go somewhere.
So it's going to be really cool. And I love Mount Bachelor.
Is that an invite?
Yeah. 100%.
Oh, my God.
And then right after that.
I'm Bachelor, recording this.
After Mount Bachelor, I mean, that's later. I think you had the dates there. Go back April 22nd through 26th. And then the week after that is Jerry Lopez's Big Wave Challenge.
So you got to go to that.
You could go to that.
But then I'd have to stay up there for a week. I would get to stay up there for a week.
And there's also direct flights from San Diego right into Bend.
Oh, my gosh. Let's go.
I am going.
Oh, you're going. I want to go. I'm going to work on this.
This is one that you've been invited to.
Spoiler alert, am friends with Jerry Lopez. I know. I know I am. This time it's true.
It's not what he said.
He would say he knows my name. And
if you asked him,
do you know Chris
me.
Cote's name? He'd say, I know his name. Yeah. Just saying. Jerry, what's up?
Anyway.
I have
you should go to Mount Bachelor.
That's the good news.
Anyone that's wants to go snowboarding, because Bachi's got it's holding for snow.
And I don't know why in snow news there's always a tragedy lately.
Yeah, how's this one?
This is so gnarly.
Okay, let me preface this.
Okay,
as well.
Preface this, please.
Vail is this chairlift is cursed.
Okay, this is a chairlift. Even bring it at a higher level for people that don't know even Vail.
Vail is this giant ski resort. There's a terrain area called the Blue Sky Basin, and the chair that accesses the Blue Sky Basin is fucking cursed. This was like
talking to your microphone a little bit.
This,
there you go.
Sorry, that chair is cursed. A couple years ago, I don't know if you remember the photo, but a man got caught in the chairlift and fell out the back of the chairlift and had his pants up around his. He was hanging upside down for like a half an hour, completely
nude.
From the waist down, because his pants were around his ankles while the whole line saw him.
Oh, that's so
And nice. He got a lot of money from Vail. And then now,
a
person fell through. This is on Saturday. A person fell through this because they didn't close the seat because the seats fold up for snow. Somehow, one of the seats didn't get closed down. The guy sat down. His jacket caught on an edge that would hold the jacket, and he fell through the chair and asphyxiated himself. He was literally hung in front of the whole lift line right there at the bottom of the chair. That chair is fucking cursed.
It's tragic. It's horrible. And not only this happened to someone, thousands of people had to sit there and look at it.
They watched it happen. And that's like, look, dude, Vail, you're so big. Get your fucking shit together. You're like the press that's been coming out of there recently hasn't been that good. I mean, they had like there was a giant snowstorm when I was at Coffer.
5 hour lift lines.
Yeah, like giant lift lines, like just fucking pull your head. Like you're so big. Like you need to concentrate on what made you big instead of just like
being
more
big.
Money grabbing. Like these are little things that shouldn't fucking happen.
Now, barring this tragic incident,
yeah.
And to be on, you know, to be fair, this could happen.
Accidents happen.
This could happen
sure.
anywhere.
Sure.
But why is it that, and this is totally, and this could, I could be way wrong here, the Vail, which I've been to Vail during the summer, and it's, I mean, it's incredible, but Is veil kind of a dirty word? Does it give a connotation of kind of a...
It has been
snobby or
for years. I mean, right? even since I moved to, when I lived in Colorado from like 92 through like, you know, early 2000s.
And but honestly, Vail, change our Vail, mind, Vail's, right?
The Vail ski resort is really fun.
Right.
It's super fun. It's just that
it's the
like,
corporate
it's
name
kind of, and it's like,
something.
You know, I don't know. They just got really greedy. And then all of a sudden it used to be like, you know, you could park for free at Breckenridge. You could park for free at these other resorts. And then all of a sudden, you know, it was always like you had to pay to park at Vail. And then, you know, you'd have all these like sneaky spots.
Right.
And I mean, I rode for Vail. I was on the Vail snowboard team for a long time. And it's just like, it's become like this weird
juggernaut.
Aspen wannabe, glorified truck stop. Fucking the mountains rad, the people that live there are rad, the money grubbing attitude is not rad,
right?
And it spread over to all the resorts that Vail has taken over, and it's all of a sudden Breckenridge didn't have any place that you could park for free anymore. You had to pay for parking. You couldn't fucking park anywhere
because now
town.
Vail owns everything.
Yeah, Vail's just buying up all these resorts and kind of like
and
making the locals bummed.
So I saw the footage and the photos of the 7-hour lift lines at Vail's. I'm exaggerating, but I mean crazy.
It was well. It
Wouldn't
was,
you limit the amount of people on the mountain just well, to give people a better experience?
To be fair, I think there was a power problem on that Friday when the snowstorm happened, and then Saturday, which was the day after, where it was sunny, it was bluebird in Colorado after that 40-something inches of snow.
People were hyped.
They all got up there, and it was just like
powder panic.
Something happened with the chairlift in the back. That fucking same lift.
No, that's the same.
Yeah.
Lift.
Like.
All right. Vail, you need to do something about that.
Anyway, enough shitty snowboard news.
Good snowboard news is so far this season appears to be holding.
Well, I'll tell you what.
In many pockets in the world.
We talked about this before. Travis Rice is bringing back.
Supernatural.
Natural selection. And right now he's at Baldface Lodge looking to retool the Scary Cherry run where he did do Supernatural and Ultranatural. So there's going to be a tour. There's going to be multiple stops.
Rad.
And it's going to be flipping amazing, and I can't wait to see what happens because Travis is crazy in the best possible way.
Love Travis.
Yeah.
That dude's – he's got a lot of energy. He's kind of like the Kevin Hart of snowboarding without the controversy. As in hardworking. I just said that because I watched that Kevin Hart documentary where he's just always doing rad shit. Mm. That is what Travis Rice to me is like. I look at him all where oh he's sailing on a canoe in Tahiti.
Yeah.
He's circumnavigated the globe. Now he's in doing this film project. He's
super,
killing it.
He's super action bro.
And he's a bro. He's a nice dude.
Super action bro. Anyway,
can't wait for that.
That's gonna happen.
What about in contest news?
Well, they have the I think it's like some extreme
world excrement
world extreme championships, brought to you by the song Sail.
That's ultimate. That's fighting going in snow.
That's going down right now. I think it's Snowbird.
Sick.
One of the stops for the world extremes.
I wasn't in by that.
And then yeah, there's the U.S. Open is all next week at Vail.
Ooh. Whoops.
Ooh, sorry. But
will
yeah,
you be there?
There's gonna be. I'm not gonna be there, but. It'll be really cool. And Burton always, Vail!
Nobody from Vail actually listens to this podcast. So.
I think you'd be surprised.
Damn it.
Actually,
hey,
some, Vail. When I was at Bachelor the other day, some dude from marketing came out and was like, I love the Monday Mass. I'm not even shitting.
We
not
love
shitting
Mount
you.
Bachelor. And we got love for Vail. Just fix your shit.
Vail! Anyway.
I love snowboarding.
I do too.
And I got to say.
I found out that I love snowboarding still.
Okay.
And that was after riding Bachelor last week. I was kind of on the fence about snowboarding. I was really bored with it, but I do love it again.
Here's one thing that got me so excited
what
about
is it?
Snowboarding. And so in the past, when I've had friends that work at companies, namely our friend Tim Swart that was doing Bonfire and, you know, companies like that, mm-hmm. Working at Dutour,
mm-hmm.
got me reinvigorated in snowboarding, the whole deal. One video that just popped, and the reason that I am a huge Curtis Cizik fan. And I don't know how to say his name, but
Cizik.
That's what I said.
It's like a seizure.
I was just joking. I know exactly how to say it. Curtis Cizik, like I said. So just watch this.
What is
it? It's on his Instagram.
We're watching Curtis.
It's Curtis.
Guess where that is?
Cruising.
Guess where that is?
Mount Bachelor.
Mount fucking Bachelor, dude.
Okay. If you want to get excited about snowboarding, I've got 30 seconds of pure, unadulterated, wonderful joy on a snowboard.
Just go to Mount Bachelor's Instagram or Curtis Cizik's Instagram, and you will see.
At Curtis, and then that's where things get.
Because the summit opened up on Monday.
So when I tell you his Instagram name, it's at Curtis, and then things get difficult, right?
Cizik.
C.
Z.
Z.
Q.
No. Just go watch it. It's so good. And it got me so excited.
Curdy Boy is a good snowboarder.
I'm coming up in April. That's it. You can't keep me away.
I think that, I mean,
no restraining orders keeping me away.
I will make the call to have you be part of this thing.
Let's go. I can do post run interviews. I've proven myself. I may not know what a Daffy is, but I know what a 360 is.
We for sure need to have the Monday Mass from there.
Obviously.
Imagine the people we could have on. Oh, and they also, during the Peace Park, there's this thing in the parking lot of
the War Park
of Bachelor called Rendezvous, where it's Bachelor opens up their parking lot to have all these RVs come and stay there, and they have like bands play.
It's
and
like Burning Man.
Well, they were going to call it Burning Van, but the Forestry Service had a problem with that.
So don't call it that.
No, but you could call it that.
I can play a show there.
Wow. There we go.
Now I'm uninvited. I won't play. I'll play. I bet Danny Davis would enjoy my performance, to be honest.
He would. I heard that Twiddle is going to play, and it's just going to be one song from the beginning of the week to the end.
Let's make the call, Todd. If you get me into this, I'll get you into something else.
Okay.
We'll trade.
All right.
That was snow news.
Pretty good.
Hot stuff right there. And which is ironic because it's snow. It's cold.
Right.
It needs to snow in Tahoe. I'll tell you that. I'm going to Tahoe next week. If you're going to be in Tahoe, ladies and gentlemen, I will be probably riding Boreal and hanging out at the Woodward bunker from Monday through Thursday because my kids have ski week and they want to go do that.
Tahoe, snow again. Right? Tahoe, you can use that as your catchphrase. Honestly, I'll give that to you for free.
Right.
Let's make snow again.
Okay.
Nerd News is brought to you by Panikin Coffee and Tea, and I tell ya, it's the best coffee and tea there is.
Love it.
Period.
Live it.
They'll be at Camp Shred. You know what's up.
All right.
Mass20 is your code, 20% off anything and everything on the Panikin Coffee and Tea website, which is panikincoffeeandtea.com.
Okay. Let's drop right into
it. Todd, once again, Nerd News. I'm calling this Nerd News because we talk about cinema a lot on Nerd News.
Yeah, because you won't let me talk about video games.
No, we can talk about video games. Okay. So, Out Cold is a cinematic feat, right? It came out to little fanfare, but has since grown into an ultimate cult classic.
It merely follows in the footsteps of Better Off Dead and Hot Dog.
There you go. Well, a new film tried to come in with its big stars, with its big budgets, with its Hollywood attitude, and take Out Cold's space off the blockbuster
video still backing this movie.
Downhill.
I'm still backing it.
Downhill. And this is here's the review for Downhill.
But wait, let's say who's in it. Julia Louis-Dreyfus?
Well, Will Ferrell? I can read you the beginning of this review.
All right.
Downhill is an unfortunate title for a film that starts out with an intriguing cast pairing.
Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Elaine Benes. And
Ron Burgundy.
Ron Burgundy. That would be Julia Louis-Dreyfus and Will Ferrell, for those of you who don't know, if you're not cinema freaks like us. I mean, we're cinephiles. We both have seen Step Brothers at least twice. We know our film history.
Rotten Tomatoes is my life.
We both have watched Seinfeld at least once.
Okay, go.
They just say it's a shitty movie.
It's already out?
Yeah.
Wow, it must be shitty.
I mean,
don't you think it would have been better if they weren't skiers? Like, it's very ski-centric. Like, even their kids ski. Right. And the whole the premise of this movie is based on an actual YouTube video. Did you know that?
No.
Okay, so there's a YouTube video.
No, I'm interested.
There's a YouTube video where there's actually an avalanche coming down, and it became a meme where there were, this is in Europe, and an avalanche was set off, and there's a family sitting at a table, and the avalanche is coming closer and closer, and all of a sudden everyone's like, holy shit, and the dad freaking runs away from the mom and the kids in the video. That's the whole premise of this movie came from that YouTube video.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
So will you see Downhill?
Yeah, if it's like on the plane or something.
It's a plane movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you. But I just want you to know, I want your friends who made Out Cold to know, I want Zach Galifianakis to know, Downhill is not coming for your throne. So that's, try again, Hollywood.
That's what I'm talking about.
Try again, Hollywood.
Ain't
you
no
ain't
Johnny's,
shit to us.
Ain't no Johnny Tsunami either.
It ain't no Johnny Tsunami. You ain't shit to us. You ain't taking out Out Cold. Currently showing on HBO, Comedy Central, everywhere. Not Netflix.
What?
Amazon.
What is?
Out Cold.
It is everywhere right now.
It's all over.
I get like 10 links to it a day on my Instagram.
I know, me too. It's like, okay, I know Todd's in Out Cold. I get it. I was there. I wasn't there, but I knew Todd then. I knew him before and after. He was much great. He was great before. After, since then, what was that? 2001? What year did you make Out Cold?
2000.
Yeah, since then you've been a dick.
Wow.
I'm not laughing at this.
Okay, go though. This sounds good.
Do you know who Johnny Depp is, the Hollywood
yes.
celebrity?
Yes.
He was in the Pirates of the Caribbean
oh,
films.
Oh, God, did you hear this phone call?
His ex-wife.
Right.
Who, they're in a bitter battle.
Divorce.
The crux of the story is she shit in his bed and then punched him.
She shit in his bed?
She shit in his bed.
Like dropped a deuce in the bed.
Well, first, she punched him.
Then she dropped a deuce in the
then
bed?
Then she shit in his bed.
She steamy coiled in his bed.
And then left for Coachella.
Dairy Queened on his sheets.
It
laid
could be...
trow.
It, this could be...
In the place where a man sleeps.
The greatest new country song ever made.
My
she punched me in the face,
she
shit in my bed,
sheets.
And she left me for Coachella.
Wow.
I've never had a scorn.
Have at it.
Lover.
But did you hear? But did you hear the audio recording that dropped of that?
Don't say drop. Get it? She's dropping turds
for real. Like then someone leaked the audio recording of it.
Don't say leak. Don't say it. Next thing you know, she excreted an audio recording. Go ahead.
There was a defecation. Anyway, of the allocations. The audio fell out of an anus, and it was apparently it's she admits to like punching him in the face, and now she's like on the hook for like assault, and she said that he punched her or some I don't fucking know. Hollywood's weird, dude. Weird shit happens. You know, like
this is
people just pooing on each other's beds for fun.
When I'm looking around on the internet before we record this show, I'm going, oh, weird news.
Where's the weirdest place you pooped?
For
real.
I mean, in a van full of friends.
Like for fun?
Well, necessity.
But like for fun though.
Kind of fun. I've pooped on many beaches, jetties, harbors. But no, I mean.
You want to hear that? This is a funny poop. Well, I've pooped my pants a bunch.
I pooped my pants at a Pennywise concert.
On purpose?
No.
Just like.
It was a shart gone wrong.
Oh boy.
Yeah. Just a shart gone wild.
Just a shotgun blast of dirty dishwater and your.
I mean,
pantalones.
Down to my socks.
Oh mud.
And at the time, I was wearing giant Dickie shorts, high white socks, wallet chain for sure.
Wow.
Yeah, I shit myself.
Saxon Bouchard, you know Saxon?
I know Saxon.
Legendary surfer from La Jolla.
Yeah.
Told me this story once where Ross Williams was in the water and Shane...
You're outing people here.
This is a good story, though. And it's not like they don't know because it happened to them.
Okay.
So Shane Dorian is in the water. Ross is in the water.
Okay.
And...
Amber Heard's in the water.
What?
Amber Heard is in the water.
Who's Amber Heard?
Johnny Depp's shitty ex-girlfriend?
No, this isn't one of those jokes. Anyway, something happened where Ross was like mad at Shane and Saxon for something. Like they were just giving him a lot of shit. Or it might have been the other way around. But anyways, Saxon took a shit in the water.
Yeah.
And threw it. Like he had to go poop and he pooped in the water and threw it. And somehow the gods made the angle of the poop like perfect. And it like flew over and like hit. It was either Ross or Shane like straight in the chest. Like it's an amazing story. I couldn't believe it. When Saxon told me the story, it was probably one of the top five poop handler stories I've ever heard.
Don't mess with Saxon or Amber Heard.
Shit, the shit heard around the world.
In better non-feces related news, Vans is reissuing the Fast Times Checkerboard Slip-On 1977.
Really?
Well,
what's it? What's this?
Listen.
That's my skull, dude.
Hopefully there wasn't shit on your shoe when you did that.
It was a poopy
shoe. So basically I feel like the
Fast Times didn't come out in 1977, did it?
No, Vans started in 77.
When did Fast Times come out?
Fast Times 84? Came out. Yeah, something. Yeah.
That movie's the best.
Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Right.
Written by a fella from San Diego.
I heard.
Filmed in San Diego.
I think one of my friends went to that high school.
Claremont High School, right? Or Rancho?
Yeah, it's like somewhere
RBV.
In the valley. Or
people listening in Sao Paulo right now have no idea what we're talking about.
Well,
Parabéns.
If you said it in
Hola.
Portuguese.
Yeah, so they're re-releasing the classics that Spicoli hit himself in the head with.
But wait, isn't there checkered Vans out now?
Well, these checkered Vans have Fast Times across the bottom.
Oh, I
yeah,
see.
They're sick.
Cash grab.
Well, but it's also like celebrating the film.
Vans are
what?
A symbol of Southern California lifestyle.
That's right.
You wrote that there, but I just read it, and it is true. I really think that Vans are synonymous with Southern California.
Right.
I remember the first checkered pair of Vans that I got my sophomore year in high school. People looked at me like I was a fucking alien.
Oh, my gosh.
When I had those.
It really is. I mean, when you got your first pair
they're
of
like,
Vans.
They're like, what are those? What are you wearing on your feet? Those are stupid, because everyone was wearing like freaking Timberlands with like,
Tim's?
Like work boots. That's where I grew up. I grew up in a farm community.
Everyone had Vans around here where I grew up.
I know. You're so soft. You grew up in like a soft area where you could like skateboard and live your life.
Yeah.
You didn't have people trying to like shove your head in a toilet because you skateboarded.
No, I did. We did have that. Oh. Yeah. But it was more just personally. Not because I skateboarded, just because I was annoying.
How's this?
Wes Anderson.
New movie.
New
did you
film.
See the preview?
I did.
It's pretty good.
That looks amazing. We got Bill Murray, Tilda Swinton, Owen Wilson. All the classic Wes Anderson cast. The film's called The French Dispatch.
I love it.
It looks epic.
I love it.
Okay.
Okay, you go. What's your next one?
I was going to say,
nerd news.
A lot of families have shows that they watch.
I am down for this one.
Okay. Our family, our addiction. I mean, we wait. It's once a week. We don't watch a whole lot of TV together. I'm not trying to brag. Like
I didn't realize this was out.
Yeah. Now. We spend time on the screen.
How many episodes deep are you guys on
two,
this?
There's only two episodes
okay.
out.
Let people
Best
know.
Best reality show competition thing.
What network?
It's on, I want to say it's on Fox or something.
Okay.
It's on normal weird TV. All
right.
1 through 12.
Yep.
Lego Masters.
Fuck yes, dude.
Hosted by Batman. By Lego Batman, I should say. Will Arnett. It's so good.
I'm so excited. I didn't
God,
realize this had come out yet. Now I have something to do tonight.
It is so good.
And it kind of is like the Bake Off show sort of.
It's like Chopped. It's you know, it's Top Chef. It's all of those things. But
are they
basically
kids or like adults?
No. These are grown-ups.
Even better.
Don't bring kids into this.
Even better.
I might let my kids watch this show sometime. No, I gotta say it's highly recommended. Super fun. It got us. You know, we've not stopped building Legos since my kids were 3.
Do you guys need some Legos?
No.
Okay.
No. We've got plenty of Legos.
I have a lot of Legos. My wife came up with an idea the other day that, like, why not make a gun that shoots Legos? out of it. And I was like, that's the fucking worst idea I've ever heard in my life.
A Lego gun?
Yeah.
Why is it a bad idea?
Because she was like, well, I hate those stupid little airsoft pellets that end up all over the house.
Right.
She's like, why don't they just make a gun that shoots Legos? And I'm like, because Legos fucking hurt.
Right.
You ever stepped on a Lego?
Oh, yeah.
Sucks.
Many times. And I could show you the scars.
I can't wait to see the show.
Yeah, it's really good.
Want to hear the show that I'm watching?
Yeah.
Okay, this is on Amazon Prime.
Okay.
And it's been out for a couple years, but I was just introduced to it, and I'm kind of in a creepy TV phase right now. Like, I've really been loving The Outsider, which has been fucking stellar. It's called Fortitude, and it's about the most northern town in Norway. Like
Fort Builders.
No, it's not. It's really creepy, and I'm only in episode 3, and it's like there's this town that's super close, super far up in the Arctic Circle. Wait, is that the Arctic Circle?
Or yeah.
North Pole? No, it'd be the North Pole. That
close.
That you can't be born in that town and you can't die in that town because they don't have the facilities to handle a birth or a death. And there's no crime in that town because everyone has a job. And then so they find this a woolly mammoth thawing out in the permafrost, and they bring it to town. And then as soon as they bring the woolly mammoth carcass to town, all these fucking crazy murders start happening, like gnarly murders. And there's tons of polar bears. Like, polar bears are a major problem in this town. And you can't tell yet if it's like there's something that's thawing out of the mammoth that's making people go crazy. Wow. And it's so far, it's creepy, and it's right up my alley. It's right in my wheelhouse.
There you go.
I like it.
Todd, you and I have a lot in common when it comes to TV we like, when it comes to adventures we want to go on.
Mm-hmm.
Sadly, we missed an incredible sounding festival in Japan. It's called Hadaka Matsuri. It's on Honshu Island, and it's where tens of thousands of nude men get together, and they writhe. They walk around. They march around.
Did
you
say writhe?
Yeah, they writhe.
Like in a pile?
Yeah, in a pile.
Like snakes?
Yeah.
Like a snake birth?
Basically.
Ew.
I mean, it sounds incredible.
Kind of.
Pubes getting all tangled up.
Oh, my God.
I'm just saying. Put it on your calendar for next year. Hadaka Matsuri on Honshu Island.
Maybe we could.
A.K.A. the Naked Festival.
We could go to that. And then there's also the Penis Festival that happens in South Korea.
Todd, if wherever you want to be, nude, with me, I'm in. We want to say congratulations to Seba, the standard poodle, who was named best in show at the 144th Westminster Kennel Club show.
Boring.
Beating out 3,000 dogs. You're not a dog person.
I used to be.
I'm telling you.
I had dogs.
You're not a dog person.
I had a
knock
great,
it off.
I grew up with a great Pyrenees. They were great. I just don't like shoveling shit like from a giant dog.
Well, then don't go to Japan's Hadaka Matsuri Festival on Honshu Island. Because inevitably, if you have tens of thousands of nude men...
More like Honpu Island.
That's what I'm saying. That was Nerd News.
Okay.
Now we have some questions brought to you by Super 73. Best bikes out.
Let's hit it.
California Mud Motors. God, the same
tried and true. Whatever,
week.
I don't care.
And that's great.
Someone fucking asked a question.
Thank you, California
Thanks.
Mud Motors.
We only have time for 3 questions because this podcast is 7 hours long today.
Okay, Todd. From now on, for the rest of your life, you can only skate in Adidas massage sandals or surf in Converse high tops.
Oh my God!
You can't do both. You can only do one.
Surf in Converse. I think I'd skate in Adidas massage sandals.
They're slides, right?
I don't know. Yeah, they're like the ones with the big Adidas.
No, you can't even walk up a hill.
Dude, fucking half those Hawaiian kids skate barefoot, so why couldn't you do it?
I'd rather surf in Converse high tops. They're thin. You could pull it. You could make it work. All right. Okay, so that's our answers.
Yep.
Sportcash 1 says, when will we have a microphone open in the judging booth during WSL events?
Never. They'll fucking never do that. And I've always...
Full transparency.
I've said that in snowboard events, too. The judges... It's such a thankless job, and it's like, if you win, the judges are great. If you don't win, the judges are fucking assholes. I don't blame them for not putting a microphone in there, but I just like to, you know, in snowboarding, and I'm probably in surfing too, is like,
You know,
I often thank the judges.
It's good if the judges know what's happening, and I think maybe in snowboarding it's a little bit different because sometimes I think the judges don't know what's happening. Well, no, most of the time they do. I don't know. It is a fucked up job, and they have it bad.
I'm not trying to toot my own horn here, but I think the judges like me the most of any of the WSL commentators.
Why? Because you don't talk shit on their judging?
Kiss their ass?
I definitely, like, I don't have a problem saying when I think the judges are fucking over athletes.
Whoa, dude. You got intense right
that
there.
Was that intense? It wasn't meant to be.
Yeah, but you scared me. I think I don't kiss their ass.
I think your job is...
I know how hard the job is.
Your job as a commentator, though, is to have an expert opinion. And that doesn't mean that making everyone happy.
Well, counterpoint to that, as a play-by-play guy...
Filleting the... broadcast
as a play-by-play guy, wouldn't you leave the job up to the color commentator to give their
so who does that
them, you tee them
who
up.
Does that
that would be Potts that and would do, be does anyone, Ross Williams
does anyone ever say no. say stuff like oh, the definitely. Judges shafted them
yeah okay. I if it's blaring
yeah
but I often kind of tend to lean towards the judges because most of the time it works out in the end.
Yeah, I mean, it's like usually the person that wins, it's pretty obvious.
I would never want to be a judge. It's such a hard job.
It's so lame. They should be paid, like, a lot more money because it is truly they're the ones at the backbone of the event because they're the ones that determine the outcome.
Yeah.
Pay them
the only thing
I'd want
to judge is a beef jerky tasting contest.
On Honshu Island.
Exactly. I would want to judge... the upcoming Hadaka Matsuri on Honshu Island, the Naked Festival.
Beef jerky tasting contest.
I'm like, I'm here as a judge. And they go, well, there's no contest. It's
you're
just,
all,
we're all just
you're
hanging
all, out. I'll be the judge of that.
I'm going to give best in show. I'm going to give best groomed. You know how at dog shows, too, they spin the dog around and they give a grab?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to do that.
Mm-hmm. They pull its tail.
Here we come, Honshu. Right. Adam Etzart wants to know, what's one snowboarding graphic you'd love to see re-released or reissued?
Mine.
Selfish.
My first dinosaur pro model.
Yeah, you found a silk screen of...
No, I found the computer printout of the first graphic I ever designed, and I found it was in my stuff.
Well, you should get that tattoo.
I
want to
get
you.
It. I don't do tattoos, dude. I don't like needles. I'm going to have it...
You're a wuss.
I'm going to have... I'm going to try to get Yes to make that board.
All right.
I'll give you one.
Thank you.
For like, I don't know, like 10% off wholesale.
I'll get the tattoo. What will you give me if I get the tattoo?
Have you gotten any tattoos like dare tattoos?
We dared ourselves to get our lucky jackets tattooed.
I remember that.
My friend Micah.
Yeah.
My friend.
He's my friend, too.
He's my friend.
I've seen him more than you do.
That's our questions.
All right, guys.
That was a pretty good podcast for having nothing to talk about.
My Super 73 is looking at me right now like it wants to hit the open road.
Get back on that hog. All right, we love you all.
Hey,
see you next week.
Also, in addition to this, if you guys have any suggestions of what I should Photoshop Chris's face onto, let me know in the comments.
Or do it for him.
What? No, don't take my
job. Oh, you like to work.
I like to work.
Okay.
This is my job.
Don't take his job.
But I just need ideas because I'm running out of ideas, and I feel like I'm going to start leaning into 80s pop culture, and then I'm going to alienate everyone except for people that grew up in the 80s.
Maybe, you know, more. I think you put my face on Tekashi 6ix9ine.
That was good.
That was really good.
So we need
maybe
to be
more modern references.
I put your face on Billie Eilish.
Yeah, maybe some more modern references
like
I think would be good.
Why don't you give me a suggestion?
No, don't put me on Donald Trump anymore.
That was just funny.
It hurt. It hurts.
I didn't mean it.
Well.
But you're okay with your face on a croissant.
Or a butthole.
Oh, my
God. In that order. more food, animals. Yeah, have fun, Todd.
All right.
All right, thanks for listening.
We'll see you next
or not
or
listening.
Whatever.
Fine.
Use your eyeballs or ears.
Yeah.